This is not your average podcast, trust me. This is IP Series, where you learn to protect and safeguard all your intellectual property so you can make a career of what you love. Join me, Rita Amrichinder, as we discuss all things intellectual property from the world of fashion, film, media, entertainment, dispute resolution, and even technology. Welcome. On today's episode, I will be taking a line from Kid Glock's song Ambition for Cash, which goes, "So you're an artist? Of course. Are you good at it?" So my guest for today is actually good at what he does. And trust me, if you're in the entertainment industry, you're going to find this episode really, really insightful. So without further ado, let's meet our guest for today.
You are welcome to IP Series. Please kindly introduce yourself. Tell us what you do and where you're based.
Thank you. My name is Onyeda Olufoni. I'm a music marketer, a catalog manager, and author. I also do events, special events. Currently, I'm based in Lagos. I mean, those are my side hustles. My main hustle is full house husband.
Yeah. Phone house husband.
Yeah. Hey.
Yeah. Let me come and drop my CV now. So, based on your introduction, what would you say are the main challenges and opportunities for musicians in the digital era? How do you think streaming platforms, social media, has changed how marketing of music is done to be able to reach audience?
Okay, thank you. So it's a fact that this digital era has brought so many opportunities. But then again, there are some very disturbing challenges also. One of which is the issue of copyright infringement, in the sense that, I mean, with the rise of digital platform, it has become very easy for people to pirate and just share your music illegally. So one of my clients released his video last week Thursday, and I was just scrolling through YouTube today. I typed the title of his video. I typed it on YouTube and I saw so many other contents on his that have been uploaded. Even pertaining to his video. Yeah. So, I mean, that is very rampant. I mean, before we even put this digital era, we know that the pirate thing was a thing also. I mean, people were in Alaba. That is their core business. But we thought,
yes,
we kind of thought that with digital, this thing, that it will copy a bit. But now, it's on the rise. Also, another major issue is that there's oversaturation of music right now. You know, in those days, before you can make music, you have to properly dress up, you know, have a date with your producer, go to the studio, you record, you go back home. Then maybe 3 weeks, 1 month, 2 months later, you get a call that your song is ready. Then you go back to the studio and all that. But right now, you can just sit down at the corner of your house and just record and upload instantly. So there's oversaturation this time around. And then with just the click of your button, You've put out your song. So so many artists out there. Like I jokingly say, normally I would say we have 260 million people in Nigeria. Around 200 million are at around 200 million are at because everybody just wants to become the next Davido or the next Wizkid by the life. So there was saturation, and it's not only in Nigeria. It's worldwide. That's why Spotify will tell you that they have like 100,000 uploads a day. A day. That is massive. So another issue is the algorithm discovery.
Indeed.
This is these major DSPs, the Spotify, the Apple, they rely heavily on algorithms to recommend your song to users. So as a new entrant, as an emerging artist, you do not have that foothold on the digital map yet. So when you release your song, there's every possibility that it will be lost in the pools of music that has been dropped. You understand? Because who shall be you from the corner of your house? But you've released your song, but you need the algorithm to now push your song to be able to recommend it to artists. So this is also an issue. Monetization is also a big issue. This is a major issue because we know how much it costs to make a music. Relatively, for an emerging artist, the cheapest that you can make a track is like 30 to 50K. That's the cheapest. I mean, you are using your guy as your producer.
Wait, 30,000 Naira.
30,000 Naira, 30 to 50,000 Naira. I mean, this is not on a professional level, though. If you want to now talk about, you want to be a bit professional, producer will charge you like 50 or 200,000 Naira. Then there's the mix and mastering engineer that will charge his own and all that. But let's just say 30 to 50,000 Naira as an emerging artist to make your song. And you've made, you're trying to drop an EP of, say, like 5 tracks in your body. 50,000 Naira just to make it pass. That's the cheapest. And it's not like the song would be dope. It's not like the production would be fantastic, but that's the cheapest you can get. And then you will do artwork and all that. Say 5K or 10K. That is like 160,000. And you will now upload your song. And I can guarantee you that you won't make that 160,000. You might not get it in 1 year, 2 years. Because the money you need to even promote your song, you cannot have it on your account. We will still get there. You can't have it at an individual. To push a song, to push a track, you need like 25. It depends on, you need like 25 to 30 million. Between 20 and 30 million to effectively push a track. To blow an artist, you need like 50 to 150 million Naira. So you do not have that money personally in your account. So you've done this. DSPs will now be paying you like, 0.006 cents. For every stream. And now, unfortunately for the artist, if your stream is coming majorly from Nigeria or from West Africa, even with 1 million streams, you might not be able to get 20,000 Naira. Is that bad? Yeah. So, monetization is a thing. However, there are some very fantastic opportunities, the global reach. Like I said, you can sit down in the corner of your house and put out a song. And you can be very lucky that something might just happen. Maybe the chatting song for the week or the month is any top artist out there. I'm even talking about in Europe or in US. Beyonce just dropped a trap and everybody is falling in love with it. Then you, as a Nigerian emerging artist, you drop another track with the same title. So people, while they are searching, they are clicking your own song instead of clicking Beyonce's song.
What happened to Bona and Ye?
Yeah. I mean, people normally say, his own came out before. I think it's all came out before Kanye, but Kanye was bigger than him, of course. So, that one can give you that leverage. There's the global reach. Anywhere can just listen to your song. Some people are just, they just want to listen to something fresh. So that one is there. There's the direct to platform, direct to fan also. You can directly reach out to who is listening to you. You can directly say, this is where they are listening to my song. This is the age range. This is the gender that is listening to my song. You can have that data. You understand? You can also easily collaborate. So these are some of the benefits. Just reach out to someone. You like what they are doing in their own city or in their own town, whatever. you can easily reach out to them on social media and say, hey, I like what you are doing, best partner and all that. And yeah, something fantastic can happen from there. Then also the marketing tool for the marketing is social media. There's too many social media accounts now. Online too. To promote your music. You get so these are some of the benefits of the digital era. Now the third part of the question is talking about what's the third part of the question talking about social media?
How it has changed how it has changed how people market their music and reach audience.
How they market exactly now. So for the marketing aspect, so on social media itself, you can do we have Instagram, we have Twitter, we have Facebook, we have TikTok, we have, you know, so many platforms like that that you can promote your music on. However, you can decide that you want to do video content. Do you understand? If you're doing your video content, it won't cost you any. All you need is your phone and just have the dope concept and be able to just record and post it online and can run adverts on it. You can decide that, okay, I don't want to do video. I want to do just still images. You can decide to do that. And that is another form of promotion. You can now also say, okay, I want to do playlisting on DSPs.
But it's expensive,
though. Well, that's another form of promotion. You can also, there's a detailed preview aspect of it also. You know where your fans are coming in from. You know where they are streaming your music from. So you can target such area. For example, if you have more listeners in Nairobi, Kenya, you can now intentionally reach out to OAPs in Kenya, put your songs on radio in Kenya, reach out to their influencers over there. You understand? So you can do territorial marketing because of social media and the digital era. You understand? Also, and if you are big enough, or if you have dedicated fans, you might do crowdfunding. If you have dedicated fans, you might be able to do that. You know, they will just give you money. So those are ways you can. That digital era has helped us, and I've also given a headache.
Wow, very, very insightful conversation. And the issues are the lots that goes on behind the scenes we're not even aware of.
A lot.
So how do you now balance the creative and business aspect of your music career? And how do you manage time, financing, mental health, especially for your artists and not for yourself?
Okay, so the first major thing I normally tell emerging artists to seek, not only emerging artists, independent artists now, is that you can't do it alone. It is a whole lot of work. However, I know that because you do not have the funds, you tend to do it all alone. You will be the graphics guy, you will be sometimes you are even the producer, you are the manager, you are the one managing yourself, you are your road manager, you are everything to yourself. You are even your entertainment lawyer, you don't even read contracts, you don't sign anything that comes in. It's a thing, and it's a serious issue in the industry. What I normally tell them is, you need to, because all these things will also affect you creatively, you won't be able to properly create fantastic music. Do you understand? So I normally tell them that you need to look for some of your friends that love music, that wants to do something fantastic in music. We can start together. Someone can be your manager, someone can be your A&R. If he has good ears for music, can be your A&R. Someone can be your manager, and all of you can grow together. You can have a friend, a fresh law graduate to be your entertainment lawyer. Somebody that is, people that are just enthusiastic. So, one, you need to set clear goals. This is very key. In Nigeria, we don't even set goals. It's not a cultural thing for us. We just flow with the tide, you understand? But if you are in this music industry, you need to be able to set clear goals. And you just pursue it to the... I won't say that you should be rigid with it, but you should know that this is what you want to achieve. That will give you some sense of achievement also, and balance your mental health, because it is key. You should also learn how to create children. You can't be everywhere at every time. You can't be working as far as that. So you need to also be able to create schedules and say, between this time and this time, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to achieve. And I normally tell them also something that when it comes to creative expression, when you've hit the writer's block or something, you just need to let just free yourself. Don't stress yourself. Just allow, because that is one of the reasons why people or artists go into drugs. They believe that drugs can bring out the hidden talent in them, and that is also your nonsense. It is what you have in you that you operate on. If there's nothing there, your drug will just make you just add madness to you and all that. But I mean, also for emerging artists, I know the money is not there, so you might not need a financial assistant or a financial manager. But one thing you can do for yourself to help yourself is to keep your books. What do I mean by that? You are going for a recording session. You write it out. I'm spending 50K for this producer. I'm giving 30K to this engineer. I mean, you will be happy at the end of the month when you check your book and say, okay, so far, this is what I have spent on making music. And you now know that, okay, in this first quarter, Spotify has paid me $120. $120 times whatever the dollar rate is. You know that, okay, I made this. I spent this. I made this. Once you, it will just give you that sense of responsibility. You will feel like you have that balance. You have that balance, because that is the only way you can go. So that is just tracking your finances. Now, if you have friends that are also willing to partner with you, to join you in building your career, you must learn how to now delegate. Because one other thing is, your friends can some of them might just want to hang around, not doing anything, even discouraging you or something. You don't need people that will discourage you at this time. If you have people that are very enthusiastic like you, you now need to learn how to delegate and push everybody to work. The next one is learn to also network and collaborate. Networking in this instance now is in two ways. People try to network vertical, networking upwards. That is hard. For an emerging artist, you don't need that. All you need to do is to network sideways, like I've said. Get your friends, get a fresh graduate, get people that are still on your own level that you can build with. When you put in the work, investors will see it, because there's so much money in the industry right now. Investors somehow will see it. Or you put in the work, you're getting the fans, your music is doing good numbers, you can now request for an advance. There are so many platforms that are giving advance right now. So learn how to network and also collaborate. Collaborate in this sense it doesn't only mean collaborating with fellow artists. I mean with a producer. Instead of you spending 200,000, 300,000 on a track, you should get a producer that you can collaborate with. That will do a very fantastic job for you. It might not cost you anything. It might not cost you more than 30 or 50K, because the producer knows that, okay, we are in this together. I'm producing for you. I have 50% of what you are doing already. And we are pushing it together. So this is where collaboration comes. This is key for mental health. Prioritize your self-care. If you think everything is going, is looking so much like you don't understand anything again, just calm down. Just relax. Forget music. Go and watch. Just go out. Just enjoy. Just relax. Take a few days off. The only person that you have. Again, you do not have the money to do what you want. So you must be also very careful about what you do. Then most importantly, you just stay organized. In all of these things, your schedule is there. You've been able to time yourself on what you want to do. You are delegating. So you must also be able to stay organized. So these are some of the ways. These are some of the ways that you can balance the music and the work and everything, the creative aspect and the business aspect of music. Because it's a whole lot. I won't lie to you. This, if you want to know how huge this is, what a record label is doing, for example, what a Maven is doing. They have the AR department, A&R department, they have the marketing department, they have the PR department and all that. It is what, these are all the departments that one artist as an emerging artist is doing. So it's crazy. So you just need to be able to find that balance, or else you might be working from Awuyaya to Oriental Hotels, like one of the artists just said in the podcast. Yeah.
I was going to make reference to the said podcast that you had alluded to.
Yeah.
So I'm going to delve into that because that's not our primary focus of conversation.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the fact that you had highlighted networking for upcoming artists and accounting, keeping record, etc. And then when you were talking about friends, I thought you were going to mention, you know, the need to have a hype man and all of that. But what would you now say?
I love that.
Oh, wait, you have the money. Interesting. Okay. What would you now say are the drawbacks or benefit of working with a music manager? Because you mentioned finance manager. So what's the benefit of having a music manager? How do you find and choose the right manager in line with the goals you had previously mentioned? And then what are the key skills and qualities that a good manager should have?
Okay, cool. So first thing first, all emerging artists, you don't need a manager. Don't need a music manager. You don't need it. Because a manager should come and there should be a business that the manager is coming to come and manage. If you've not been able to sort yourself, you still don't know what you have. Some artists, that is your genre, they will tell you, yeah, I rap, I do afro, I do reggae, anything that comes my way. Such artists are not even ready. They don't even know what they can do. They don't even know what they are doing. Do you understand? You don't need a manager.
Yes. In that.
You need to be able to understand yourself first. Understand your brand. Now, okay, maybe understanding your brand is a bit of a stretch. But you need to be able to understand and also be able to build something on your own. A manager is not coming to manage 0% of nothing. So, but then again, the benefit of having a good manager is that there's expert guidance. So, a manager will be able to tell you, with a manager that has the valuable industry knowledge, will be able to tell you, this is the strategic thing to do right now. This is how to move. These are the collaborations you should have. Do you understand? This is what a good manager should do. A good manager is also time efficient. They are effective when it comes to time management, because they know that different aspects of your career that needs scheduling, that needs communication, that needs coordination and all that. So a good manager is time efficient. You know that, okay, between the work with timeline, between so-so-so dates and so-so-so date, we should have achieved this so that we can move on to the next one. A good manager also is perfect with networking in the sense that they have good guys in the industry. They have people they can easily relate with the industry. They are guys in the industry. So if you as an artist, if he or she is your manager, you can easily say, okay, go and collaborate with this guy without even charging. Do you understand? Because if you reach out to some artists in this industry, they will tell you, my fee is 500,000, 1 million naira. But if your manager is good to them, they'll be like, now you okay, let's do it, no issues. So you need, that is a manager that has that networking strength. Then another good one is negotiation skills. Yeah, your manager might not be an entertainment lawyer, but he must at least have an idea of what a contract should look like, and he should be able to negotiate a better deal for you. Now, if you are looking for a manager, there's every guarantee that you will be getting bad deals. Also, if you have a manager and you want your managers to be running after shoes for you, there's 99% guarantee that you'll be getting bad deals. So that's why I say you don't need a manager, of which if you get a manager, the manager should be able to develop you, to make you that business, that to make you important and want people to brands to come and buy into you. When brands come to you, when show promoters reach out to you, you can negotiate from a good standing point. But when you are the one reaching out to them, they're getting a bad deal. So a good manager has a very fantastic negotiation skills. You'll be able to say, this is what we want, this is the percentage you are getting, and these are the terms and conditions, and you know, stand on it. Also, a good manager should be able to help your career, to grow your career. This is one of the major reasons why a good manager is needed after you've started something on your own. And also, if you are going to look at the drawbacks of having a music manager now, so for an emerging artist, there's the financial implication. You don't have anything. A manager will not come and meet you and say, you are reaching out to a manager. He will tell you, this is how much I charge. Now, you don't have the song that is making money. The manager will not tell you that I'm taking 50% of nothing. So if you want to get paid, how do you do that? So there's that financial application. In some cases, there are the loss of control, in the sense that what you want to do, your creative control, what you want to do is not what your manager wants. Based on industry trend, the manager might say, this is what you should do. But you are saying, you know, this is what you want, this is what you feel good with it. This is what you just want to do based on your creative whatever. But your manager is telling you, now, this is what you want to do. So there might be a loss of control there. Then, because we are all human beings, there's potential conflict. I mean, you can't be fighting yourself. But if you have a manager, there's every possibility that there will be conflict. Then dependence. Now, if you are relying too much on your manager, and I prevent you from developing some essential skills. If you just think that your manager will do this for you, your manager will do that for you, your manager will do this for you, then you are not even doing anything again. It would definitely affect you developing some essential skills that you need to have as an artist. So, I mean, these are some of the drawbacks of having managers. However, to choose the right manager, the first thing I want to say is, if you are doing something fantastic, a good manager will reach out to you. That one is 100% guaranteed. That's why I said that you don't need a manager first. But if you started building, you are building your fan base gradually. You are performing shows in your area. I'm not talking about concerts. I'm talking about virtually everyone in your area knows that you are an artist. So if there's anything happening in your locality, you are the first point of call that this guy will perform now, our own person. So if you are doing something like that, a manager will come, will reach out. A manager will reach out. But if you are the one that now wants to reach out, so in that situation, there are some things that you need to find out before choosing a manager. So you see that the manager reaches out, or you reach out to your manager on the long run. But these are some of the things that you need to find out. A manager that has a good networking strength, that has industry people, that is a very good way. For example, I might not want to call names now, but the guy that owns Music Business for Africa used to be a manager. If you have him as your manager, you know that some things are sorted for you. You might not do what you want to do. They might tell you that this is the way to go. If you follow it, you will definitely get something will happen. Okay, also, I was speaking with Bizu the other day and he was telling me that he doesn't even collect anything from artists if he's managing them. He doesn't collect anything because, he just believes that when your time is right, money will come. Do you understand? But he must be able to you have that thing going on. When he was managing Oxley, he was not collecting anything from us. But he just told Dr. Vader, see, just calm down. Your time will come. And when your time comes, every other thing will fall into place. And that is what happened. So, like I said, you must have been building something. There must have been something very unique about you before a manager will reach out to you, or before you think you need a manager. Yeah. Also, somebody that can easily define your goals, that has, that understand your brand, and that you can, both of you can relate on another, I mean, on a very fantastic level. I don't know how to put it. I don't know the right word to use now, but somebody that you can relate with effectively, that won't see you as just another artist, and that you won't see as just another person that is trying to make money also. No. Yes, somebody that can also review contracts. I mean, some of the things that we discussed, somebody that can review contracts, but you know that this one is fantastic when it comes to contract, that has the fantastic negotiations skills and all that. So, and somebody that can communicate effectively, someone that you need as a manager, someone that also can adapt, adaptability is cool because there's, the industry is ever changing. There are so many things about the algorithms. There are so many things. There are so many social media popping up. Even the social media that we have, the Instagram and the TikTok, that is like the major promotion tool. There are so many things that are changing on them. So the person that is very, that is adaptive, that can easily adapt to changes, is somebody that you need as your manager. The person that is, that has that creative sense, that is very creative, you need as your manager also. I mean, and also integrity is key. Someone that you can trust. Someone that you can really, really trust. So these are some of the the qualities of a good manager. These are some of the things that you need to find out when you are looking for a manager. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for that. And I like your closing, which was integrity is key.
Yeah.
Having someone who is experienced and not so much focused on money as well. The next question to you would be, because you made mention of negotiating contracts.
Yeah.
Let's say you have an idea. So how do you now negotiate a contract? Let's say for upcoming artists who say they can afford to represent you. What are those key clauses you think, oh, I should be looking out for, instead of reaching out to a lawyer? Or I can take a gamble. How do you deal with record labels, promoters,
okay,
venues, and other industry professionals? Are there some common pitfalls and mistakes that musicians should avoid when signing these agreements?
Yeah. Okay. So this one here, this question is very, sorry, it gets as it be, in the sense that, I tell artists, even before you get a manager, you need an entertainment lawyer. I don't know how you want to do it. Because an entertainment lawyer can also stand as your manager. But a manager cannot stand as an entertainment lawyer. And when I say entertainment lawyer, I mean entertainment lawyer. I'm not talking about criminal lawyer or estate lawyer or charge and bill lawyer, whatever the lawyer is. I'm talking about entertainment lawyer, someone that knows music law, that knows intellectual property and copyright and everything like that. You understand? So when it comes to contracts, so you need to first do your research. If it's just you, ask questions. Ask questions. Now, the funny thing about contracts is a comma can be where the issue is. Just a comma can be where the issue is, and you will not know. You will just read through and be like, okay, this is a fantastic contract. Whereas the comma there is the issue. You will not know. But if you ask questions, and before you can even ask questions, that means you have an idea of what you want. So understand the terms that anybody is bringing to you. We've had so many issues. Sometime late last year, an artist put out that he got himself into a very wrong deal, and he was in the deal for 8 years. He could not do anything, and the record label didn't see anything for him. He only produced one track for him for 8 years. He finally got out. Yeah, he finally got out last year, and he's starting afresh. He was starting afresh after 8 years. Beyond that, so contracting, I don't even advise. I have artists that they'll be like, bros, you don't think I just quickly run this thing for us. Come on. I'll see pages like 20, 30, 40 pages contract. You want me to I know they run contract too. We get an entertainment lawyer that would go into that, understand the details. Because if I say, okay, you should be clear on your goals, you know what you want.
Yeah.
You understand the terms of those people coming to you. You can negotiate better. But then, verbal negotiation is different from written down, from black and white. There are some clauses that they will just put and you will just think, okay, this is cool. Even in your contract, there should be sunset clause, but you don't know that there's anything called sunset clause. You just feel like, yeah, it's cool. After they want to sign it for 3 years, they will give me 2-bedroom flats in Lekki, and they will give me a car. I'm cool. But you don't know that in all these things, there's advance. That is an advance. They are going to make their money. They are going to recoup. But you don't know. I've seen a contract that they were charging. They said they will be giving the artist 10%. And the artist did not even know. He saw all the plenty figures and all that and was like, okay, this is good money. When money start coming, but they are taking 90% of your money. That is way too much. They've taken the advance. They've taken every other. And they are still making money off you. They've opened office on your way, but simply because you just want to get out of it. I understand the case of being in obscurity, you know, when you in oblivion, where nobody knows where you are. You just want to get that. Is when you get to that bridge, you will cross it. But you might get to that bridge and the bridge might just go bumps and you can't turn back. You understand? So the major thing is to just look for an entertainment lawyer. But for this podcast case, one, you need to do your research. You need to be able to understand the record label. If it's a record label or a music promoter coming, you need to be able to understand them, how they operate. You know, ask questions about from people, not even from them right now, because everybody's going to tell you something fantastic about their organization. Ask questions around from people before you go into before signing anything. Then, like I said, you should be clear on your own goals. You know what you want. Yes, there's a time that you need to bend and all that, but you still stand. You still know that this is a 50-50 situation. It's a 50-50 win. Yeah, it's a win-win situation. It's not like I'm losing out just to get something. Nah. So you might not be able to understand the terms, yeah. But understanding time is important, but you might not be able to understand it when it comes to plenty lawyer, what's it called? Yeah. Lawyer grammar.
Indoor lawyer grammar is industry language, right?
Industry language, I mean.
Industry language.
Then one good thing is that you should also be able to negotiate from a position of strength. If you have a good fan base, you have good numbers, you tend to be able to say, this is what I want. And if they don't want it, then you can just tell them, hey, thank you, bye-bye. I don't need this at this time. So if you're in a position of strength, you can negotiate better. Yeah. And even if you're in a position of strength, the contract, the pages will be reduced. Do you understand? Mm. It will be like 2 or 3 pages. Yeah. But if you're not coming with they will just give you like 30 pages or 40 pages. And you will be like, you just go through everything. You just sign. You sign away your life. So you should be able to negotiate from a point of strength. So there's something called exclusivity clause. This means that it is just them that you are doing it. Nobody else. You should be careful of this kind of clauses, because if you are signing a record deal, or if you are signing, it might be as simple as a distribution deal, which your distro should be collecting like 20%. You have access to, you are collecting 80%. However, your distro is telling you that they are the one in charge of your publishing. They are the one in charge of your merch sales or they are even collecting 50% of your meth. So these are some of the clauses that you need to be very careful about. For example, one of my clients last year, we were trying to sign with the DISHO, and the DISHO was trying to give us an advance, a 50K advance. But when I saw the contracts, I told them that, no, we won't do this. They said it's going to be for 5 years on multiple projects. They told us that they will be doing 50-50 on revenue. We didn't stop them. They now said in our sync, we'll be doing 50-50 for sync also. In our shows, every show that we get, we'll be doing 50-50 with them. I mean, I was like, but what is... You think I don't know anything? You think because I'm not a lawyer, you can just bring this to me? Guys, thank you so much. So we're able to get another deal with another DISHO that gave us $22,000 for 2 years, and that was all. And the DISHO will be charged, will be getting 30% of revenue. Do you understand?
Nice.
I mean, this is so you should understand. That's why I said you should always negotiate from a point of strength. Because if you somebody will just be like $50,000, maybe 1,000 times 1,500. Ah, this is money.
Let's do it.
Do you understand?
In this era, that's money.
50K times 1,500. Ah, let's do it. You just sign. I'll be like, oh, anything will work. Will I go up? But you spend the money. You finish. And
Twitter trend, here we come.
Do you understand? And now you now be lost, and you now be like, so what's the next thing? Nothing, because you're not going to make any money. And the funny thing is, if you do not pay your advance as at the set period, the contract will automatically extend. So
sure,
until you finish that your advance. And again, let me tell you, a distro will get the report or the log before you get it. So they might even doctor it and you won't know. So, for example, you might be making $1,000 every quarter, but it will come through your DISHO. Your DISHO might cut the numbers and make it $600. And on that $600, they will still take their own percentage.
Before they take their own cut.
So these are some of the things. You have to be very careful. So you need a lawyer. You just need a lawyer. So the most important point right now, In this question is, get yourself an entertainment lover that has your interest at heart. Don't say because your record label wants to sign you. The record label will provide you entertainment lawyer for you. Know that the entertainment lawyer is that boy entertainment lawyer. It's not working for you. It's working for the record label, and it's going to do everything that this is the record label. Same thing with a distro. If a distro is sharing the contract with you and they are telling you that it's on their lawyer, it's confirmed, everything is cool, and you think, yeah, the lawyer do it. You just know that.
Oh, you're
on your own. Who are you? You get an entertainment lawyer. That's the best thing. Yeah.
I like this part. I think I like this particular conversation. I think we would have even sat on this very, because I've seen, like, there's one, the guy, 7 years. Then if you breach, you pay $150 million. Yeah. Guy, please help me. Upcoming though.
Imagine.
I said, why are you signing this agreement? He said, are you sure you need? Because you need to do more work. You need to have that bargaining strength. That thing that when you say, oh, this is what I want, best able to give you what you want, because this is not a good deal. He thought I was not doing it well, but thankfully he listened to me at the end of the day. And, exactly. You know, and I think that conversation needs to be had, so that the 200 million people that we feel are artists in Nigeria should not be taking advantage of.
Exactly. Yeah, no.
Should not be taking advantage of.
You see, when you want to sign a deal, a record label deal, and the record label boss, he's taking you to a restaurant to sign that deal. You know that you don't even enter one chance. Or he's calling you to his house, you are signing the deal on his bed.
Oh,
you've entered one chance already. Do you understand? So, and again, I will just say this now. We only have like 3 or 5. I don't think we have up to 5 record labels in Nigeria. Every other thing we have is just an entertainment service company. So, but everybody will tell
this
you
day, this day, this day we are shaking now.
Yeah, but everybody will tell you that the record label and all that. Because if a record label, see, what is the work of a record label? Work of a record label is go into the streets, bring a raw talent, polish that talent. Yeah. Then load the talent with all the necessary
ammunition.
You understand that they need to survive in the industry. Build the talent, make the talent a marketable product. And this product, again, that the talent is giving you, market it properly. Let there be massive returns. Now, for the part of the product, as you are marketing it, there's the publishing part also, that the money will be coming in. Do you understand? And all this thing. So this is the job of the record label. But what we have in Nigeria is somebody that is popping somewhere. They will just go and call you and say, we want to give you $5 million, a 2-bedroom flat in Lekki and a car. That is not how the record label works. Do you understand? So, but that will be important for another day. But for this
one, really story for another day.
Yeah, but for this one, just be careful.
Too many sharks in the sea.
Exactly. It is in this industry, plenty python. Anyhow, we go be almost just focused, like Nai said, in 2006, when did they release that album? There are plenty python in this industry. Everybody just want to eat, and we just forget you because there are so many talents coming up, springing up on a daily basis in this country. Again, get an that has your interest at heart.
Very important. And I like that you closed the game with getting an entertainment lawyer, getting a specialized lawyer that understands music law, the business, and copyright and all. And then the tables you were about shaking, please, my podcast is still upcoming. So when I come to meet you for market, I say, is it not you that brought Toy in there to shake table? Let me jump and pass just before.
Okay, no.
Well, we'll be wrapping up soon. And how can you measure the success of a music, the impact the music have experienced based on the marketing strategy?
Okay.
And then what are the tools and metrics in analyzing growth? And what are those trends that you foresee happening in Nigeria and internationally? I mean, internationally, this conversation about artificial intelligence work, etc. But let's bring it back home and make it more African. What are those things that you foresee?
Okay, so as a music marketer, there are some things that analysis that we use to determine how the music that or the project that we've put out is doing. One is the streaming and sales data. So for every artist that has a Spotify, an Apple, a YouTube, there is Spotify for artists, there's Apple for artists, there's YouTube creator, YouTube studio. Do you understand? So these are where you get your analytics. And the minute you put out your song, this platform, they are so good that we will tell you, this is the number of people listening to your song now. This right now is what's it called now? Is instant. This hour, this time, these are the numbers of people listening to it. This is where they are listening from. This is their age range. This is so we tell you, it will give you a breakdown of that data like that. And it will now tell you for YouTube. For YouTube studio, YouTube will tell you everything that you need to know from. So once you get on your dashboard, you will see your channel analytics. You will see your latest published content. You see your latest comments. Once you move to the content, you will be able to now see the views. You will see the impressions on click-through rates, the average view duration, how long people were able to watch your video or listen to your track. You'll be able to track all these things. And also, you'll be able to say, and it will give you per hour basis, or say, okay, for the first 2 days that you release this project, this is the data. For the first 5 days, this is the data. For the first 3 hours of the first day, this is the data. So you'll be able to know, okay, this is the exact time that people are listening to me. Between 4 p.m. and 6 p.m., I normally have a spike in people listening to me. So if you want to do anything, you can channel it towards that. So that means if you want to release a video, you can release your video, say, by 4 p.m. or 3 p.m., when you know that between 3 and 6 p.m., there will be a spike. Even before you run your app, there will be a spike in what people are doing. So these are ways that you would know. You'll be able to measure how your project is doing. The same thing goes to Spotify. Spotify will tell you, okay, this social playlist has added your song. This playlist, you've been able to get social numbers of streams on your song via this playlist or via this area. And this is how your song is doing in this area. So all this data is what you need to, is what we tell, what we inform you how your product is doing in the markets. You understand? And so same goes with the social media analytics. When you are posting, you can easily check how your numbers are doing, how people are saving your content, sharing your content, or the comment and the like. Same thing goes for the website. If you have a website, for the email, this email is going straightforward. Email is straightforward. Email, when you are doing email marketing, is straightforward. You have the number, you have the email addresses of your fans. You've sent them mails. You'll be able to see, okay, these are the ones, these are the numbers of people that actually opened. These are the times that they open. So if you want to send another mail, you know the exact time to send it. These are the numbers that did not open, and this is the reason why. And these things are just for free. You can use a MailChimp to go do all this. It will give you a perfect data. If you're advertising on Google, Google will give you a perfect link of everything that you need. Same thing on YouTube. Now, one other thing that you can do also is to do survey and feedback. You know, you've put out your song and all that. You can now throw out the question, which of my projects do you like? If people really like your project, one, they will comment. They will share it on their own. But if you ask that question, they will now start telling you, this is the best song out of your 5-track EP or your 10-track album. This is my own best song. This is my best lyric. This is the best moment for me and all that. You get. So with this, you'll be able to say, okay, this product is doing well or not. Now, for you to be able to once all these are going on, there is now need for you to now edit your marketing strategy. So there's a pre-marketing process, a pre-release marketing process. This is the process where you get people to anticipate your product, your music rather. This is the phase where there's a pre-save, pre-load campaign is going on, where your pre-save and pre-load campaign is going on. This simply means your distro has uploaded your project, but it is not open yet. But your fans can see the link, save the link. So once your product is out, they will instantly get it before it even goes live. Do you understand? So this is what happens during the pre-release campaign. Also, this is when you shoot all the contents that you need to run your the advert, or the content that you need to push your product. This is where you need to shoot all those contents. So that immediately you drop the content, because when you drop your project, there should be activities back to back. If you have a calendar, so I'm going to give you one act today. I normally tell artists, so when you drop your album or your EP or whatever you are dropping, give yourself each track, take each track and promote it effectively. You don't have money, but you can do 2 to 3 weeks. Intensive promotion on the track. How do you do it? On the first track, you're starting with the first track. You do, and it, you just replicate it on all other tracks. You do interview for yourself. What have you? You take a video, you record yourself. What does this project mean to you? You type it out, and you will now be the one to voice it. You record yourself answering that question. How did you come about the title of this track? You type it out. So these are just content. This is just 30 seconds, 45 seconds content. You put it out, and people would see it, and they will go back to your song. They will go and listen to it simply because of what you've said. Do you understand? That is what happens on its own to push your project, your product. Another one is, on that same one, the first track, it is an hip-hop song, or it is R&B, whatever. You don't need to do another version. If it is R&B, you do the hip-hop version. You do the a cappella version. All these things, something that you just quickly do on your own. This will get hip-hop fans to look at it and say, ah, Shane and Rap be this. You will now say, okay, let's see what we can do. This will get those that love country music to come and listen to it, to the original version. So, these are how you, and when you schedule your content like that and put them out, your social media algorithm would move. It will start pushing your content, because when it's consistent and you have so many engagement on it, it will start pushing your content out to other people. You know, what's it called? Now, Instagram Discovery, or what's it called? You now start pushing your content out on its own without even running ads on it. You'll not be able to say, okay, this is where your content has gotten to. This is the number of shares and all that. Same thing at the back end in DSPs. Once they see that your content is moving, you are making noise, everybody's talking about it, or you are generating buzz somehow, they will intentionally put your song on playlist. It is expensive to run playlists, let me tell you. You can run a playlist for $20,000, $30,000. You can run, I know you can run playlists for $500,000 and all that, but playlists, good playlists, that is guaranteed that you will get $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 to run playlists, but you don't have that money. So you need to create that buzz. Once you create that buzz, algorithm will pick your song on DSP and start playlisting it itself. Once people start listening to it, because, you know, when people see your content, they will go to the streaming platform to go and listen to your song. And when DSPs notice that people are coming in from everywhere, just to come and listen to a particular song, they'll make that song priority. It's as simple as that. You don't need to do stream farms. Now, the issue with stream farms is, so stream farm is also a marketing strategy. However, you know that you won't get correct data, because all you are doing is, there's somewhere, there's 2,000 phones streaming your song at a time. But if you have money, you have good money to run your promotion, this is what you do. If you are doing stream farms, hopefully hopefully they won't blacklist you. But if you are doing stream farms, you will now put that same song on the radio. So this is how it works. When people now come to Apple, they are saying that this song, who is this guy that is on number one Apple Nigeria music? Who is this guy that is number one Spotify? Number one in Ghana? But as they're asking that question, they are tuning in the radio and it's your song that is blasting on the radio. They are watching TV, they are seeing your video on MTV based on Channel O, on ETV and the like. Do you understand? They'll be like, okay, there's something about this song if it's everywhere. Whereas you are using Stream Farm on DSPs, and you are doing.
So you've hacked the system.
Understand? You've hacked the system. So people will now go back to now start going and listen to your song. Now you can now reduce your. But I don't advise anybody to do it, because anything can happen.
After giving us explanation, so we should not.
It happens in industry. It happens in industry. People will come and tell you, they will come and tell your artist, oh yeah, let's run farms for your song. so that at least you push you up a bit, then you run your groundwork yourself. It is normal. It is something that happens. Even distros, they do it. Distros do it. You will tell them that, okay, I have £2,000, $2,000, or $3,000. You help me. However, whatever boats that one can do, you just put it on it, and you have boats just streaming your sounds. But again, like I said, you won't get data. You won't be able to use your data because there will be nothing to show for it. There will be nothing to show for it. And also, the other side of that is, if you do not have a good data, these platforms that give advances, they would see from their back end. For example, because I work with a company that give advance to artists, and we normally see at the back end. So when artists come, they will tell you, they will give you the numbers and all that. You will see 20 million streams on their Spotify and all that. But when you now put their name and their reports, now when you put their reports and you analyze the reports, you will see that they do not have even up to 2 million streams, original streams now. You know what the AI normally says? There's a word that he uses. He uses no data generated or something. I've forgotten the right word now. Just to tell you that this is fraud. Do you understand? So that's why I think you should be careful. But if you have money, because all these top artists, we get money when they come and work. But if you have good money, you'll be able to balance it. Also, run for balance it out. Okay, so I was talking about it. So if you've done all those things to push yourself, and after like 2 or 3 weeks, you need to go and re-edit your marketing strategy. So you now identify your key performance indicators, your KPIs, the KPIs that you set for yourself. In 1 week, what have 100,000 streams or 200,000 streams? And you know that, okay, I've gotten 100,000 streams, and this is where the streams are coming from. You can now do territorial marketing. You target that area. Do you understand? If you're using it, if your distro is helping you with marketing, they can do retargeting for you. Your distro can say, okay, you're an hip-hop artist. You are the one distributing for Black Bones. You are the one distributing for Odumodu Black. You are an hip-hop artist. They can target Odumodu Black and, Black Bones fans. So these are some of the ways we use data to market songs and analyze them. Their feedback is very key. Feedback is very key. You need to constantly put out questions to know what people are doing, to know how they are feeling your song. And also your backend, you need to always check your backend so that you will know what to edit and what not to edit. Now, on the part of AI, for AI music in the world.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to say to that because that one is another problem. One of the major problems of AI music is that who owns the copyright to that song? Because that is a major issue. You know that copyright is even an issue right now in this music industry. You can do covers and do cover. You can do cover to a song. And you want to clear that song. And you know that the song that you want to even clear is a cover to another song. That's a cover to another song. So you need to go to the root of that song. For AI, you just come and do something. Who owns the song? Where's the money going? There's a lot of issues with the AI screen. That one is story for another day. But in Africa that we are today, there's a data that just dropped that Africa is not making... Belgium, or what's the name of that country? It's 11 million population, is making twice the money that Africa is making. Africa as a continent. A small country in Europe, South America, is making twice the money that we are making. Simply because our data now, internet, and poverty is key in this part of the world. However, we need to also know that Nigeria has the highest number of streams in Africa.
As the giant of the continent.
You know, as giant we will be. of which we are the one with the lowest, what's it called, our subscription rate. Our subscription rate is like 90 cents. Like 90 cents.
Yeah.
It's not even up to a dollar.
Yeah.
Subscribe. Do you understand? But in South Africa, it's like 1.7 dollars. In Egypt, it's like 2.something dollars or thereabouts. Mm. But Nigeria is still topping. So, I mean, there's so many issues, but we are getting there. So that is why I also tell artists, when you start promoting your music, share as much as possible to find a way to promote outside the shores of the country. Because if you are focused solely, digital promotion right now, if you are focused solely on the African continent or in Nigeria, I mean, you won't make money. You won't make money at all.
There's hope. We have hope. With in God.
We'll get there. So I mean, these are the things.
The conversation is sweet. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're from Utah. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So in closing, I mean, with everything you said, I mean, I know how I can reach you, but say someone wants to reach out to you after this recording, how can they get across to you? Can you share your social media handle with us?
Okay, so Twitter, Instagram, which one again? TikTok.
LinkedIn.
TikTok. Okay, so we have to take LinkedIn out for now. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok. I'm on Pinterest also. I don't do anything there, but I'm just on Pinterest. So my handle is the Oyinda Olu, TheOyindaOlu, one word, the Oyinda Olu. On LinkedIn, I'm my name, Oyinda Olukonu. That is my name on LinkedIn, because that's very official. But every other place is just the Oyinda Olu. Even on Facebook, I'm the Oyinda Olu. So it's just one name. I'm available. Yeah.
And also buy his marketing book. I think I bought a copy like some years ago.
So
there's another thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, three now. I have one out of three. I'll buy the remaining two so that I'll say I have three of Oyinda's.
Yeah, so I have three. One is Guide to Successful Emerging Artist. That is all you need to know as an emerging artist. Everything you need to know. So, and I have music marketing plan by Oyinda. It gives you how to plan your music. Now, the second one is music marketing guide. The music marketing plan is actually different from the guide. The plan is to tell you what to do. Where to, all the pre-releases and everything. But the guide will tell you step by step. So the plan will tell you everything you need to do. This is what you need to do. But the guide will tell you the step by step. How to run ads on all the social media accounts.
How to do that platform.
Yeah, it will give you all the guides, step by step guides on everything. So yeah. Those three books are out on seller, on Amazon, and via DM.
No, be smart. I'll buzz your hour offline. Let's see if we can get one or two copies for my listeners. But thank you so much for spending.
We do 50% discount. We do 50% discount.
I did that for my room now. But thank you so much.
Yeah, you're
thank you. So I hope you had fun today. Because as a podcaster, I've gotten a few marketing tips that I hope I will carry out. And when I have money, I'll come and meet your main hustle to help me. So I'll not be upcoming anymore. I'll be living woman in Jesus' name. Thank you. So
I guess we can all agree now that Mr. Oyinda is truly an artist and he knows and understands the business of music marketing. Now, for my IP friends, I already said I was going to give out a free copy. So send me an email to ipseriesinfo@gmail.com telling me why you deserve a copy of Mr. Oyinda's book. You'll be paying for delivery, but who knows? I might change my mind. Thank you for listening to IP Series Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcast platform. Don't forget to share it with your friends, family, and colleagues. You can also follow us on Instagram at IP Series with Esmeraldo ESQ or Twitter at IP Series 1 or send us an email to ipseriesinfo@gmail.com. Until next time, stay tuned and stay informed.